Hey, hey now, you are now tuned in to the largest mental health awareness podcast ever. This is Mental Health is Sexy with Coach V from the 513, and I am your host, Coach VMP. Thank you for tuning in, tuning back in, or finding this podcast for the first time. If you haven't already, please take 56 seconds to go and listen to the new trailer that I lovingly recorded to let all of you beautiful listeners know the direction that this podcast is going in. Life has changed for me dramatically over the past 18 to 24 months, and I'm back and I got something to say. If you don't know, I created and trademarked the Mental Health is Sexy brand about 18 months ago. And when I filed my application to trademark this brand, it was simply just to raise the awareness around mental health, to change the conversations around mental health, to change how the services were delivered. The point I'm making is that it was a very general mission. Now, life has forced me to be more specific in the message behind my brand. So now, instead of just having a general message of raising mental health awareness, that's it, that's all, now we are specifically on a mission to prioritize great mental health within BIPOC relationships. BIPOC is an acronym for Black Indigenous People of Color. Some people call us minorities. I didn't just want to be talking about African American or Black people. I mean Black Indigenous People of Color. So we're talking about all of the people in the Black and Brown community, where the conversations around mental health are still taboo, or still hush-hush, or still null and void, and are still non-existent. And when we choose to view mental health conversations that way, we are the community that suffers the most, because we are not taught how important these types of conversations are, how important effective mental health care is, and how important it is to treat our mental health just as well as we view our physical health. So the reason behind my brand pivot is because, in a nutshell, my marriage ended in a very traumatic way. And it didn't end because of infidelity. It didn't end because of alcohol and drug abuse. It didn't end because somebody had a baby outside of the marriage. It didn't end because of items being thrown in the home, paws being put on one another. It didn't end because of gambling issues. It didn't end because of different religious beliefs. Like, I'm literally sitting here trying to name off the most common reasons for divorce, right? Or the most acceptable reasons for divorce or separation. If you ask me, my marriage ended because there was not a priority on great mental health within our relationship. You see, my husband is a bona fide Alabama boy, a great provider, a great protector, a great support system at times. But he came from an era and a generation where mental and emotional health was just not something that was cared about, talked about, or prioritized. So when we got together and all I preach about is mental and emotional health, grounding, spiritual elevation, Those are my things. Those are the things that get me excited. Those are the conversations that get my blood going, right? And then later on, I would create and trademark a mental health awareness brand that even put more emphasis and more attention for me on the importance of mental health. And we can say mental and emotional health. So as I began to do my work and continue to study and continue to master myself, it became more apparent to me the gaps in how we value mental and emotional health. We went to therapy. We read the 5 love languages. We identified his love language and my love language, which were totally different. However, only one of us was in a space to be open-minded enough to learn new things, to cater to the other person, and to speak to and to use the love language that the other person believed in. So when you have a situation like that where the Bible calls unevenly yoked, there's going to be tension and dissension. And I was so focused and gung-ho on mental and emotional health, anything else didn't matter to me. Or should I say, it mattered to me, but nothing came before mental and emotional health. Nothing. Finances, sexual, physical, nothing came before mental and emotional health when it came to me. And so because I was so hell-bent on those two spaces, that allowed me to be more open-minded and willing to adapt to the things that he needed. But because he was not taught or did not see the value in prioritizing mental and emotional health, nothing I ever did was right for him. Nothing I ever said was right for him. No explanation I ever gave, or even if I did something, it wasn't enough. And when you're dealing with a person like that who hasn't tapped into their own trauma and healed their own trauma and did their own work, the only thing that they see and hear is that you're attacking them. You're trying to change them. You think you're better than them. You don't like anything if it doesn't go your way. And after spending years of dealing with that and arguing and crying and being left to comfort myself because he wasn't tapped in. He was not taught to be tapped in, and he wasn't interested in tapping into the mental and emotional spaces that I needed him to be in. And after years of trying, after years of crying, after years of arguing, after years of verbally fighting, after years of just so much trauma being experienced, it finally came to a head. And if you can tell, I'm choosing my words carefully because I'm not interested in dragging him through the mud or saying anything that people are going to misinterpret my message. So I'm being very careful into what I say and how I say it, but still wanting to get my message across. And I will still all day, every day, tell anyone who asks that at his core, he's a great guy. However, we just did not prioritize great mental health in our relationship. We did not see eye to eye on how important mental health support is. We did not stand as one when it came to the importance of great emotional health. And so even when I would speak his love language and do things financially, it still was never good enough. There was always an excuse or always something I should have done different or something I could have done more or something I shouldn't have done in the first place. If I did A, why didn't I do B? There was always something. And me being a person who is so focused on mental and emotional health, I would get confused. And so I'm a communicator. I'm a person that don't have to be yelled at, cussed at. As a child, I didn't have to be beat. Like, just tell me what I need to do and give me an opportunity to fix it. So that's the type of person I am even today. All the drama, all the shouting, all the deflection, all the gaslighting, all of the narcissistic speech and behavior, I ain't got time for that. Tell me what the problem is succinctly, and let's talk about a solution. That's how I am. And I'm also the type that I'm not going to be the only one over here problem solving and solutioning, and you just sitting back watching me to see what I'm going to do. Nah, fam. If we in a partnership, we got to do this together. We got to do this equally. So when I got to a point of, this conversation is hard because I am no longer interested in saying things that don't need to be said. You know, I'm no longer interested in telling all of the business. Because I recognize in my growth and my healing, I recognize that when people do that, when people be in relationships with people and then a relationship goes south and then they start telling all the specific dirty laundry of the relationship. I don't mean a general statement. I mean specifically telling all the dirty laundry in a relationship. I'm aware that, yeah, you talking bad about them, but then what does that say about you as well? Because you endured it, you dealt with it, and it was fine while you were dealing with it. So why are you talking about it now? Keep your mouth shut. Especially if you dealt with it for years, right? So I'm being very mindful in what I'm saying because I am not interested in saying anything super specific or super harmful about my past relationship. However, I do want to get across the fact that I am always working on myself. Whether someone points something out to me, or whether my ancestors tell me in a dream, or whether I get a message from a carrier pigeon, or whether I pick something up, if my conscience beat me up because I did or said something I wasn't supposed to do or say, I am constantly on a mission to improve myself in comparison with how I was the day before, 30 minutes before, 2 years ago. Like, I'm constantly in competition with myself. So when you have someone like that, who has that type of personality, and you get into an argument, rest assured, that person is always going to beat themselves up before they beat you up. And that's how I am, and that's how I was in my relationship. And I think sometimes subconsciously, when people see you have that type of personality, their inner demons come out and attack that. So if they know that you're going to beat yourself up after an argument for getting sucked into an argument, they're going to nitpick and say things to get you to engage with them, especially if you're choosing not to argue and you're being vocal about it, saying stuff like, I'm not about to argue with you today. Or you walk away to another room and they follow you. Or you beg and plead with them to just hush and leave it alone, and they just keep going. And then it's like once you get activated and engage with them, then that demon calms down. That demon's got its fix for the moment. And so now they've played the role of, oh, I don't want to argue. Why are you yelling? Calm down. Da-da-da-da. So when you're a person like me, your brain is like, wait a minute, what the fuck? Hold on. I was just saying the same thing an hour ago, but you kept pushing. Now you want to try to flip the script? Like, that was literally driving me crazy. And the thing about someone who's very self-aware, it is a horrible thing when you are able to like step outside of yourself and see that you're getting driven crazy. But then you say that your love and you want your relationship to work is so strong that you think you can affect change. You think by example, you can influence this person to grow and heal and do their work. You think that if you cry, then they'll be moved. You think that if you match their energy, they'll be moved. You go through this process of trying all of these different behaviors and scenarios and speech patterns to try to get that person to see, no, you the problem. You the problem. And I'm just responding to how you are. You go through all of that, and then you just wake up one day and get to a point where it's like, I don't want to do that no more. And then when you're someone like myself, who's very spiritual and who doesn't mind being corrected, who doesn't mind things being pointed out, you're very clear about who you are and your motivation for doing things or not doing things. When you get to a point like that, you begin to put things in place, whether they're prayers, practices, behaviors, to remove yourself from a situation. And what happens at times when you put that type of energy out, your ancestors, your God, your angels, whomever you rely upon, they begin to put things in motion for you to get you out of that situation, whether you're ready or not. And so when that opportunity comes and you recognize that that's your out, you take your out without a plan, without the money, without support. And so you take that opportunity. And that's what happened with me. After 5 years of being misunderstood and arguing and being attacked and being accused of thinking I'm better than someone else, or if I'm so smart, why am I doing this? And, just being told to go away, to get out, you get to a point where it's just like, okay, I'll go. You know, when in your heart, that's not what you want to do, but you're just tired. You're just tired of the cycle. You're just tired of people not wanting to get help. You're just tired of people, it feels like suffocating you and pressing down on you because they want you to be something that you're not, which is the heavy, which is the person who is doing them dirty. One of the biggest lessons I learned, and I learned it before the marriage ended, I just thought I could fix it. But one of the biggest lessons I learned is that when you first meet people, pay attention to what they talk about. Pay attention to what they share on the first date. Pay attention to when y'all in the beginning spending them long hours on the phone talking to the wee hours of the morning. Pay attention to the things that they say are important to them. Because you're able to identify in that moment, are y'all equally yoked? And one of the things I identified in the beginning that I ignored, and maybe I didn't have the language at that time, but now I do. But one of the things that I can think back on that I ignored was when people tell stories about their exes, we already know it's, more than one side to every story. Sometimes people say it's two sides. Sometimes people say it's three sides to a story. But when a person is still in the space of badgering the women before you, that's, in today's terms, a red flag. That's an indicator that they haven't done their healing work. They haven't forgiven. They haven't gotten over, whatever word you want to put in there. And if you're a person that regularly does energy cleansings and healing and development work, that situation ain't going to work out. But I can tell you what my biggest mistake was. Not that I didn't notice, we didn't call them red flags back then, I guess, but now that I didn't notice the red flags, it wasn't that. My biggest mistake was I thought that I was responsible for saving him. I thought that my teachings, my behavior, my examples, my speech, I thought that I was solely responsible for helping to heal him from his trauma and to prioritize his mental and emotional health. I thought that if I couldn't do it directly, that he would love me enough, or that I would encourage him enough to go see a licensed therapist, to go get medication if needed, to do something. That was my biggest mistake. And me thinking that I was his Jesus Cristo, that I was his savior, when all the while I was damaging myself and trying to save him. And I can clearly and honestly say that to you all today without a tear being shed. One of my superpowers is my self-awareness, coupled with my self-accountability, coupled with my transparency. Those three things allow me to engage in the most effective healing work that I can from the inside out. And so when I'm able to share my story in an effort to help my sisters, my brothers, whoever's listening, that I can do it emotionless. And that's because I've done my work. I'm continuing to do my healing work. I don't feel guilty. I don't feel angry. I'm just being honest as to where I dropped the ball. And yeah, I could badger him and talk bad about him and point the finger. But as I said a few moments ago, I'm not interested anymore in doing that. And yes, I do mean anymore, because in the beginning, I was flooded with lower level emotions. I was flooded with those because I'm human. But now, 8 months after the fact, I'm not interested in that. I am interested in helping to shed some light and share my story and teach you who listening, who may be going through the same thing, that let's break the cycle of dragging the other person through the mud. Even though we may have legitimate reason to, let's break that cycle. And let's prioritize our own mental health and do the things and say the things and think the things that are conducive to improving our mental health versus keeping us stagnant or lowering our mental health. And so that's the direction of this podcast. I want to share with you my experience, my stories, and the things that I did and that I'm continuing to do to heal and thrive after such a traumatic breakup. My mission is to empower you so that if you decide to get into another relationship romantically, that you are able to be vocal about what's important to you. And that you are able to create a checklist that, hey, these things don't match. No matter how fine you are, how beautiful you are, or what that credit score looking like, or the foreign that you drive, or how you treat your mama, I can't go because this thing right here is important to me and you haven't elevated to that level yet, right? And again, as I stated earlier, not just romantic relationships, but also personal relationships, like with family and friends, as well as professional relationships. The goal of the new direction of this podcast is to empower you to be able to advocate for, to speak up about what needs to happen to prioritize and protect your mental health. How to create effective change in your space so that the people who choose to be blessed with your energy or to request to be blessed with your energy understand the rules and the parameters. You know, back in the day, young men were taught to open doors for women, right? So women were taught that if they approached the door first, to just take a couple steps back and let the man reach for the door handle and open the door. That's the same thing we're doing over here. I want to talk to my sisters and teach them the tools, behaviors, techniques, and language to use to teach these men how to prioritize our mental health. And in effect, they learn how to prioritize their mental health. And then they teach their children and teach their friends and teach their colleagues. And we create this mass wave of thoughts, words, and deeds that prioritize and support mental health, mental and emotional health. So in a nutshell, my marriage didn't end for all of the stereotypical reasons. My marriage ended because we did not prioritize great mental health within our relationship. We were not on the same page on how important great mental health is. We were not in agreement with how emotional support is needed on a regular basis within a relationship. Because if you ask me, if we were on the same page about those things, everything else would have fell in place. The finances, the sexual, the physical, the business dealings, everything else would have fell in place. And so it makes me sad thinking about, wow, I waited all my life to get married and then this is how I ended. Not saying that I wanted the other things to be an issue. But you have to understand, to me, that was such a simple fix. And I'm not saying that the work was simple, because sometimes there's a lot of our black men and women, but I'm speaking to men. There's a lot of our about men, excuse me. There's a lot of our black men walking around in their 40s, 50s, and 60s that have trauma that they haven't resolved from when they was 5 years old and their daddy left. Or they have trauma that they haven't resolved from when they was 10 and they mama did something to them. So we're literally talking about men walking around with 40, 50, and 60 years worth of trauma. And I have a saying that it takes at least half of that time to begin to even correct, heal, or crack the surface enough to see a change. So if we have men walking around here 60, nurturing trauma from when they were 5, that means we got a 30-year hike ahead of us, man. So anyway, this conversation got a little more passionate than I intended, but we're going to roll with it. We're not going to edit nothing out. It is what it is. Because I'm fixing to shake the room. And yes, my content can be consumed and applied by everyone. My priority, though, is the people who look like me, because that's who I know the most about. We are the most underserved community, and we have to begin to affect that change. And if my podcast can do that, I'm going to play my part. I'm going to do my role. The Mental Health is Sexy brand is on a mission to prioritize great mental health within BIPOC relationships, and it has to start with a conversation. And this is the first conversation. As always, please share this podcast. If you have any comments or feedback, you can go ahead and leave us a message on our contact form by visiting our website, www.coachvmp.com. V is spelled V-E-E, coachvmp.com. You can send us a message. And I know this conversation may be uncomfortable. I know this conversation is new. I know this conversation may feel strange or weird. But it's a conversation that needs to be had. It's a space that needs to be filled. We got to prioritize great mental health within relationships. And because if you ask me, that's the foundation of why my marriage ended, I'm going to keep telling my story. I'm going to keep sharing my message. And if people want to keep deflecting and saying, oh, it was this, oh, it was this, I'm always going to take it back to the mental health. Because again, I truly believe that if he and I saw eye to eye on how important it was to have great mental health within our relationship, everything else would have fell into place. Any, everything else, financial, sexual, physical, professional endeavors, it would have fell into place. So, like I said, if y'all want to leave any comments or feedback on the episode, hit us on our website. And if you feel so inclined, follow me on Instagram at CoachVMP. I'm working on also growing that platform because I am so laser focused on being a major mental health influencer. I think that I can help fill a gap in that space for people who look like me. But anyway, all right. I got that out. I got the first episode out. Let me know what y'all think. Share the podcast. Send me some messages on the website. And I will see y'all in episode 2. Peace.